Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Excuse me. Excuse me. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2394. That's 2394. My name is Carol Levine. I am Vice President of NASCA, with a little bit of a raspy throat here, so forgive me. Been out painting. Yes, I was out painting today in my house and mowing the lawn, so I have seasonal allergies, and I'm praying to God that's all it is, and I think that's what it is. But anyway, okay. Tonight we have a wonderful co-host, and she's going to be Michelle Bless. She is from Cincinnati, Ohio, and she is a survivor of severe child abuse who is now a minister and a chaplain. And I'm really glad that Michelle is here. She, she teaches us, from things that she's gone through in the past with herself. We all have our stories to tell. And there are many of us who do turn to the Lord, for guidance, and we do believe in God, and they come into He comes into our life, and helps us throughout our way. This is one way that some people heal. There's all kinds of ways of healing, okay? And it doesn't matter which way it is you take, just so long as you do find that path, so that you can live your life, and be happy, and we have that right to be happy. Okay, we absolutely have that right. I see that there is a nice size panel here that's building up, which is very good. So, Michelle, I know you can hear me. And so tonight is actually a question and answer call-in discussion type of evening where you can call in and you can ask, questions that you might have on your mind, about survival. And how to get, to become a person who is maybe struggling to become a survivor. And how God can help you, to get to lead you into that path. Or just plain how you can get help in general. I do want to tell you that I am the contact person in the AM hour. I do get many calls during the course of the month. A lot of times I come on the show and my eyes are like half shut because I've almost just got up. Because people do have so many problems, especially now with the pandemic. And how does that affect society and all the children that are in abusive homes, all these things that they're going through? This is a bad time in our lives. And if ever we needed faith, it is now. Okay, I'm going to bring on Michelle, and I'm going to open up her mic. It is open. And Michelle, hi, how are you?
My sister Carol, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Doing all right. Hanging in there.
So good to be here. Yeah, same here. Yeah, I was listening to you earlier when you was mentioning what's going on in society and in the world itself. It's an absolute panic out here. My phone has absolutely been ringing off the hook. Many people call me, during the day and at night, wee hours of the morning, asking for prayer, needing someone to talk to, because and depression is in a high rise right now. A lot of people are depressed during this time and for needing someone to talk to, needing their spirit lifted up. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You're absolutely right. I know you're on that list, too, and this is all very important. And I, like you, I don't care when people call me. I just go back to sleep afterwards, you know, or
yes.
whatever I'm doing, you know. So I get, you know, that's what we do. That's what NASCA is, one of the things that NASCA is about. You know, we do, you know, take all kinds of calls from people. And most people are depressed now, not even those who have, you know, horrible backgrounds like we have, but people in general. But, you know, I'm looking at it in a different light, though, depression. I'm saying, whoa. They're trying to make us depressed, okay, because there is so much to be depressed about. A lot of this is about power. It's about money. It's about politics. And I hate to say all this, but that's just the way it is, okay? And I think to myself, I'm not going to let myself get down spiritually or mentally because of all this stuff that's going on right now. Because then they're winning, you know. See, they don't care about the people, Michelle. They don't care. The people that are causing problems. And they don't care if we're depressed people or there's a lot of people out there who are suffering from depression. And all they care about is making money, making the other guy look bad, and it's a power struggle. It's a power struggle. Now, this pandemic that we're having, this pandemic that we're having is we've had the SARS, we've had the avian flu, it was called something else also, and now we've got this, which is so different because it is the type of virus, if you will, that is so contagious that you're walking around, you don't even know you have it, for God's sake. And that's how we're passing it along. What's going to happen? See, this is what's making people so depressed, because they don't even know quite how to live with it. But I'm going to let you talk now and tell us what you think that people should be doing, and let them know that we are here, too, for spiritual growth and also, you know, for prayers. And I think the whole world, we had yesterday, I think, today was prayer day. I think it came from the White House. We were going to have a prayer day. And I think it was yesterday where everyone was supposed to stop, you know, like for a minute and say a prayer. Because our world is it's in trouble.
Well, for me, like I said, this it's a high rise for depression, a lot of isolation going on, and which is okay to feel that way. I mean, you know, a lot of people are not as strong as some people are. You know, a lot of people are not where I'm at. I don't expect for people to be where I'm at. You know, you have to allow yourself to feel, but don't get into your head. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people call me, and I will give them scriptures. I will pray with them. I would just be a listening ear. So, you know, keep yourself occupied. You know, just don't sit and just stare at the wall. You know, allow yourself to do something. You know, read a book. Me for myself, suggest to read the Bible, but, you know, everybody's not where I'm at, so I just tell them to get into something that gives them interest, like read a book or, you know, look at a movie, paint, you know, anything, you know, get into your hobby, something that you can do at home. You know what I'm saying? There's lots of things that you can do to keep yourself occupied, you know, or get on the internet. You know, a lot of people are doing a lot of Skyping, video chatting with family and friends. There's just a lot of that going on. You can do that, you know, or just get on the phone and just call your family and friends. And for the ones who don't have family and who don't have friends, you know, there are so many hotlines and crisis hotlines. And, of course, there's me and there's you, Carol. You know, you can call us. And, we have our website and, you know, we have our emails and our phone numbers are on the website. You know, I am Michelle Bless and my number is on there. And before we end the show, I will announce my number for anyone to write down. And please feel free to call me anytime. This is what I'm here for.
That's right.
So
absolutely.
If anyone that, even now, if you're listening in the chat room or if you're listening on the airwaves, if you have, you know, feeling depressed, you know, you need someone to talk to, even right now while me and Carol is here and our other panelists that she's going to introduce, please just push the number one and come on and share and talk with us. You know, this is what we're here for, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there are so many people right now who are feeling alone. You know, they just simply are feeling alone, and they're feeling confused. And you know, there's a good reason for that, because we're dealing with something that we can't see. If we can see what our enemy is, okay, this goes for everyone. I don't care if you're military or if you're like us, you know, then you know what you're fighting. But this thing is just killing people all over the, you know, the world. And it's almost like the plague, Michelle, okay, because it's affecting so many people in so many different countries, right? It's like a plague. And I know the Bible, too. I read it from page one and all the way through, because I was actually punished once over the summer. This is a long, long time ago, like when I was like 15 years old. They caught me drinking. And so, okay, I read the Bible. And I remember what the Bible said. And I remember about the plagues. So, you know, I understand, you know, where you're coming from. And I understand that this is a time now where people should be helping one another, not hurting each other, for God's sake, because we're all in it together. Okay. Let me bring on.
It's very
go ahead.
Let me say this real quick before you bring someone in. It's very important to not isolate yourself and to talk about it. And not get into your head, because it will isolate you. It will make you feel depressed and make you feel negative. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to take yourself. You don't want to take yourself there. You know, and that's the enemy. You know that, girl. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
This is a time where depression is such in a high rise, and you know me being, me having clients and a lot of people that I deal with, and I'm doing from home. And, you know, of course, I can't, you know, patient confidentiality, I cannot speak of that. But, like I said, depression is such a high rise right now. And, you know, and they feel so alone, you know. And I always tell them, you're not alone. And that's why I have my phone line open. And I'm taking in more calls than ever that I have ever done in my life. You know, so, I mean, every day I'm not going to bed until like 4 or 5 every morning, sometimes 2 or 3 in the morning. But go ahead and bring the other panel
in. I had the last call I had just a couple of weeks ago, and that was that late. Mm-hmm. I was up until 6 o'clock in the morning. It was light out, for God's sake. And let me tell you something. See, this is what we're doing. You know, this is what we do. And you know, okay. Let me bring on Bill. I see he's here. This is our founder. This is Bill Murray from Florida, and he's CEO, and he decided to call in tonight. How you doing there, Bill?
Well, I was scheduled to host, but Michelle asked if you could host, and I said, of course, you had to call her, you. So she did. I'll trail instead, and I'm happy to be here for both of you. Everything's good. Florida's still locked down in the area that I'm in because it's Southeast Florida. Northern Florida has opened up a bit, so I'm not sure. But I'll tell you what, even with the opening up, the stage one opening up that's happening around various parts of the country, people are still not secure. They're not sure we should be opening up a lot of people. You know, and so this whole thing that you spoke of, being not able to put your finger on what it even it is, that's part of the scariness of this. You know, and, you know, we simply have to play it smart. You know, I think err on the side of caution is the way to do it for me. You know, I did go out today, but I wore my mask. I went in the grocery store, you know, but, you know, I behaved. I kept my distance from other people and, you know, all of that. That's what you have to do. It's impossible to stay at home. Well, you should have things delivered, I suppose, but it's almost impossible to stay at home the whole time. You need to go to the drugstore and the grocery store and the gas station, maybe. You know, you have to go some places. But as Michelle said, Michelle, let me say hi to you. I haven't seen you in a little while, so hi to you. God bless you, and I love you. I know you do. You know, we have found extra modalities to reach people. And this is true not just of us, of course, but of many, many different organizations, even companies. through things like Skype and Zoom and things like that. We're using Zoom, not in substitute for anything, but in addition to what we already have done. So it's like a new program for us, and it's going very well. Now, I'd like more people to take advantage of it, but there's a core group of maybe 15 or 20 who come on every week, well, three times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And these are afternoon meetings. So it fits the bill of people who can't stay up at night, or maybe they work at night, or they're too tired at night, or whatever. in other words, we have found a way to accommodate. You know, in April, we were supposed to have all kinds of events in the community that we belong to, the survivor community. They didn't come off, obviously. So we try to do something special every year for April, and this is what it ended up being. So it's, as I say, it's popular enough to attract people over and over and over, about 20 people. But we can accommodate 100 and maybe even more. So I just want to, you know, I want to let people know we're aware of the suffering out there, the depression, the loneliness, the extra loneliness. I frankly think, Michelle, that we're kind of better positioned for this, those at least of us in recovery, because we know how that works. You know, we've been there through the depression and the loneliness and the feeling like we're never going to belong somewhere and all that. If we've been to recovery at all, for a little while even, we have dealt with that before. So it's not a new surprise to us. And basically the same tools that we used to use work again, such as reaching out to each other, which both of you are talking about. So that's my first comment, and I'll shut up and let you guys go to other people.
Okay. Well, let me do that, because they're waiting here. Thank you for that, Bill, and I agree with you. Okay, we have Anna from PA, from Pennsylvania. I'm going to open up her mic. And hello there, Anna from Pennsylvania. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Hanging in, like everybody else. So do you have a comment or a question that you'd like to ask Michelle or me or Bill or anyone? We could just have a little talk here. Is there anything on your mind?
I find with myself and with other survivors that I work with that they have a lot of trouble with their faith. You know, they feel like God really abandoned them when they were little and being abused. They cried out and feel like God didn't, you know, respond at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go to church, they get upset because you can't trust.
Okay. Michelle is the one actually who's answering questions tonight, although I certainly will pop in there. Michelle, what do you have to say to that?
Okay, I need her to ask that. I missed that last part that she said. Can you ask that question again? I'm sorry.
For myself and other survivors, a lot of us struggle with where God was during the time that we were being abused. You know, you're told in church to cry out to God that he'll protect you, he'll save you, and you just feel utterly abandoned. And then when you go to church as an adult, they don't understand why you can't trust God and, you know, say this is why things are wrong in your life, because you can't trust. And I was just wondering how we could possibly navigate or get the church to understand why.
Well, let me share my experience. When I was sexually abused, it started at the age of 6, and I at the time didn't believe in God. Okay, my mother was strong in her faith, believed in him, and I remember as a little girl, I would watch my dad beat her bloody, and then he would leave the room, and then she would crawl to the table stand and the lamp and the Bible on the table stand, and she would sit and, you know, and she would touch the Bible and she would throw her hand up and she would say, "Oh God, forgive him, for he don't know what he do." And I would look at her like, "What? Who are you talking to?" And she would say, "Oh, I'm talking to God, honey. You don't understand, but believe me, Jesus loves you." And I'm like, "He don't love me." whoever, he don't love me, because if he loves me, why is he allowing it to happen? So I get what you're saying. And of course, as I got, when I became a teenager, I was a straight up atheist. You couldn't even say the name of Jesus. And I became an adult. I hated God. When I got saved 20-something years ago, almost 30 years ago, I found God for myself. And people ask me, how did you went from being an atheist to being a minister, a pastor, and all that you do? I said, well, I found him for myself. How? Because what he did for me, no man can do. All this hatred and all the bitterness that was in my heart, he took that pain away. And I asked God, when I was a babe in Christ, I asked him, where were you? Why did you allow all this to happen to me? And I didn't really get an answer, but all I got was him taking away the pain, turning my life around, changing me so I can be an example to show others that he is real and he is here for you, to help you, to heal you, to deliver you. That is the best way that I can answer that from my SI experience. Now, what I also can say, and I have told other, and I have said this to other people, because I have people come up to me and they have shared their experience and what they experienced in churches. All churches aren't the same. Unfortunately, they had experienced bad experience in churches. I even experienced a bad experience in a church, the first church I went to before I became a member of 20-something years at the church that I am in now. So all churches are not the same, because a church is supposed to be a place of refuge. It's supposed to be a place where you can come and get compassion and sympathy and comfort. And if you're not receiving that, then this is what I would say to you. You're in the wrong place. That I will say. You're in the wrong place. And I hope that I answered your question. Because all Christians are not the same. All people that say they serve God ain't living God. You know, there are some that are judgmental. I hate to say that, but it's the truth, because I had experienced it. When I was a little sheep coming in, learning about God, and you know what I'm saying? So me being who I am today in the position that I am in, and I'm meeting people who are just now coming in to want to know who God is, I would tell them, if you are receiving anything negative from a person who say that they are a servant of God and they come at you negative and you're not feeling no love from them, like this movie, Forrest Gump, run, because they are not representing God. Don't let that deter you from God as a whole. You're meeting the wrong people and you're at the wrong church, and I'll tell anybody that to their face.
Did that help you, Anna?
Yeah, thank you.
You are okay. So welcome.
You know, I'd like to respond a little to that. I never blamed God, ever, ever. And my abuse started when I was 6 years old, too. And I had met Billy Graham when I was five in New York. And he was under this great big canopy type thing, and there were hundreds of people there, hundreds, and they're all being saved. And I went and I stood in line too, because I wanted to be saved too. I was only 5 years old. What could I do to be saved? I don't know. But I always had God in my heart. I think sometimes people believe so in God, even if I was, my mother was an atheist, okay? And she never understood me, and she didn't like me for it either. So the way I look at it, too, Anna, is that, you know, the world was made the way that it was, and we're given free minds, okay? We were given a mind. We were given a conscience, unless we're a psychopath or a sociopath, you know. And if we're regular people, we have a conscience and all these things that people are supposed to have. And we have compassion, we have empathy, okay? And then we wonder, well, with all these things that we have and all the things that are going around us and about us, you know, that is so negative, and the things that have happened to us, and we do reach out, I had good experiences in the church, so I'm a little bit different, which I won't share now. But the point is, I think that people have screwed the world up, all right? And I think there comes a time, maybe it's now, who knows, with the pandemic, I don't know, plague, whatever it is. It's time for people to come together to help each other, to look at things in a different perspective, you know, to look and see what's really important in this world. And, yes, we're going to have people we're going to have to fight off, because there are people out there who are evil, who are trying to take over. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to get political here, all right? I just won't do it. But the point of the whole thing is, I know with myself that all the stuff that I've gone through, the physical, the mental, the emotional, sexual, the neglect, all those things, I still to this day have God deep in my heart, because I do believe that he did make a good world, a wonderful world, probably a perfect world. And because we're not like the cats and the dogs, they have a little bit of a brain. Yes, they do, you know, but, you know, they don't have consciences or anything other stuff. We are different in the sense that we do rule our own lives. And I'm asking you, you know, to, you know, I don't know if you pray or if you're going to, you know, to church. You don't have to go to church. What Michelle said is quite right. It's quite right. There are a lot of people in church who are negative, or they're phonies. They just go there to, you know, to talk, a lot of times to gossip. I've seen all this stuff in churches, all right, until I hooked up with a really good church, like she had mentioned. So if you're not happy with your spiritual life, and you feel like you need that spiritual feeling back into your heart again, I suggest that also, which Michelle has said, is that you do go and look and find another church, because not all churches are bad. Some are, but not all, okay? All righty?
Yes, thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Right. We've got Bobby here.
I think there's some more people waiting on the panelists. Carol?
Yeah, they are. I'm right here. Yeah.
Okay.
Bobby from Florida, he's on. Bobby, how are you doing? You feeling all right?
Yeah, you can hear me, Carol?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah, better. Selling,
wonderful.
You know,
get closer to the phone. We can't hear you.
I can't hear him at all.
You can't hear him at all?
Hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Now we can hear you. Go ahead.
I put in the glass because I had my charger. Can't sit flat on the table. The charger's on it, so I was stuck in the glass.
How are you feeling,
Michelle,
Bobby?
You know,
are you feeling? Go ahead. All right, good. Go ahead.
I find a lot of people are not really internalizing what we're facing today. So they take it as a, even as a fantasy. They lived in their own space for so long that there's not even a fright about this thing. And I find, oh, I'm not going to give examples, and I could write A to Z examples of what I found even the last 4 weeks being shut in. Because I haven't gone out of my apartment in 18, 19, 20 days until the day, you know, so. But I know what I'm doing. And I find it very surprising that a lot of talk, Michelle. But people, the government sure is not talking because it's scary. Even today, you heard that the president's Navy valet was tested positive today. The guy who serves him lunch and dinner was how did the guy who's a Navy officer test positive all of a sudden? He doesn't watch where he's going, coming, going, and he's serving the president daily. It's shocking, you know. And I'm not quite sure what I'm saying. Refers to that guy, that naval officer, that he wasn't extra careful where he was going or taking care of himself. But that might be another case. Normally, in a normal, I don't even know, person, that person's just ready to go out there and get back on the road, get a gasoline, get on the highway, and go for it. I can say, I was in the highway. People sped past me 900 miles an hour. You say, wait a minute. You've been shut in for 1 month, 5 or 6 weeks. Where were you going? You couldn't go nowhere for a month and a half. Where are you going? It's so important. So that's the kind of example I can tell you that anyone speeding on the highway 100 miles an hour today is not even conscious of his virus. Because there's nothing under the sun out there to make someone have to go and be someplace 100 miles an hour down the highway in Miami today. Because
Bobby,
there's no place open.
Let me say something
so Michelle,
to that before I lose it.
Carol,
I want to say something.
Wait a second, Bobby. Let Michelle say what she's saying as a pastor.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Michelle.
The other part, the last part, I was confused. But the first part, we was mentioning about the president's valet. How is it possible that he can get the virus? Well, I'm not confused. I'm not surprised that he got the virus because this virus ain't got no color, ain't got
no
name.
No, got it.
Okay. This virus ain't no joke. And I'm not going to go in the because I can really go deep into this thing. My prayer is that everybody use their common sense and wisdom, and not go out without wearing a mask and gloves. And I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to leave it alone. And I pray that everybody will use their common sense and wisdom not to go outside until the whole freaking United States gets tested. Forget
you're
the fact that. You know, they so frustrated. I want to go outside, so you want to go run outside. Ain't nobody been tested yet. We won't run outside for because the numbers ain't changing. If you watching the news, people are dying daily. Mm. So until people take tests, I ain't going nowhere. That's just me. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
I get you.
No, that's good, though. That was good. Thank you for that, Michelle, and thank you, Bobby. I have someone else here. And I want to open up their mic, okay? Okay, here we go. We have a 916 area code number. Hello, who am I speaking to? This is Carol Levine.
This is Kathy Jones.
Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Doing good. How are you, Carol?
I'm hanging in there. Yes, I am.
Great. Glad to hear Michelle on. I came on a few minutes late, maybe 15 minutes late, so I didn't catch the very beginning. But I did catch the last few minutes here. And I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Michelle, for coming on and for sharing your faith. And I agree with you that we need to be safe. We need to take this thing seriously. And I really do appreciate you saying that not all Christians are the same, because that has been my experience as well. You know, not all churches are the same. I personally, I used to be a fan of particular, churches or whatever. I'm not really a big organized religion fan anymore. I am more a fan of the personal relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That for me personally, this is my personal thing. I deal with, foster care youth who have been abused by actual pastors or priests. I deal with other abused individuals who've been abused by clergy. And it's a real difficult thing to share my particular faith. Of course, I never try to push my faith on anybody. I just accept people where they are at in life right now. and and I just kind of go along with them, and I will pray for them, you know, if they allow me to. You know, I'll ask them if it's okay if I pray for them, and I just love them. It for me, I think that people get too judgmental, they get too legalistic when it comes to being quote or unquote Christian.
Right.
And they get caught up in too much of the legalism, and they forget that there are two really main commandments, and that's number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind. Okay. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Well, those are the main commandments. So let's remember that the key word here is love, because God is love. And Jesus taught love, unconditional love. And if it weren't for the fact that Jesus loved us unconditionally and accepted us for who we were, where we were at the time we came to him with all of the sins that we bore. I know I had many, you know, at the time I came to him and came back. Actually, I had abandoned him at one point, and at the time I had come back to him, I had, you know, racked up quite a few sins there by the time he was willing to love me unconditionally and forgive my sins. And I think that we as human beings need to remember that that's what he did for us, and that's what we need to do for others. We should not be sitting in judgment of anybody, because that's God's job. That's not our job. And
right.
We should just be loving people where they are and where they're at this very moment in their lives. Some are further along in their journey of healing than we are. We may be further along, or we may not even be as far along as other people. And I would want to be loved for where I'm at and not judged and not, you know, made to feel bad that I hadn't gone as far or hadn't learned as much as somebody else. So I just really appreciate you sharing your faith and sharing about God, because for me, you know, it is an important, super important for my healing process, having been abused as a child, to know that I am loved unconditionally, and that because of that, I can love unconditionally as well. So thank you again for coming on.
Well, let me, Carol. Just
let me tell Carol, there's a new person in the list, Linda, but she's up above me. Just so when it comes time, you want to include her.
Linda. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to say something. First, I want to say something real quick. I just want to say thank you for sharing what you just did. That was. I really appreciate you saying that, because it made me realize that I want to say this. I am not into religion at all. I'm not a religious person. I'm not into religion. I just believe in the Lord, and whatever you believe in is your business. And I'm not saying that directly to you. I'm just saying that. Period.
I know. I agree.
I'm not here. I'm not a religious person. I'm just not. I just know that when I came to know who God was, I was broken, battered, beaten down, thrown away, spit at, and was not thought of. And I was an outcast. I was unloved. And I found God. Well, no, let me take that back. He found me. Okay. And then I remember it was times in my first 5 years of walking, I left. It was times I abandoned. It was times I didn't want to be bothered. It was times I didn't want to be believed, because I was so talked about and persecuted in the church that I ran back to the streets. Come on now. But then when I built my relationship with him, because he never stopped loving me, I saw the difference in the love in him versus the love that I, no love growing up. I kept seeking that more, and that's why I'm where I'm at today. I just wanted to get that out.
I have similar experiences too, so I totally know where you're coming from on that.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for that, Kathy. I'm going to bring Linda on in just a second. I don't know. In my family, either you believed or you didn't believe, and I was one of the believers. And in my household, I was the only one that did believe, so I was the outcast. And no one understood me, Kathy, you know. And I had a very similar path and past as Michelle in a lot of different ways with the drugs, the alcohol, and the other things that were involved, and the streets. So being out there. But I never, like I said, you didn't hear this, but I never blamed God. Because, you see, it's people who are doing the bad out there. This is the way I feel, all right? This is just me personally speaking. You know, I knew that I had boundaries. I actually had boundaries. They were my own boundaries, okay? There were certain things that I wouldn't do that the crew of people that I hung out with, I'll put it that way, they would do. And they didn't believe in God. They, too, were, you know, atheists. And then we'd sit around, we'd have our talks. Why didn't God help me with this? Why didn't God help me with that? Blah, blah, blah. Because I so much did and do believe in God and Jesus Christ. I was born again in 1975. That's a long time ago. But I didn't need to be born again because it was already there. I was just being born that way. And, you know, it's hard. I'm not a person that goes to church either. Because there are so many things in church, you know, with people that turn you off because of the way that they, too, behave, you know. And I have God and I have Jesus in my heart, and I do the best that I can, and I think that that's what it's like to really be Christ-like. Let me bring on Linda here, okay, from New Jersey. Hey, Linda, how you doing?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Michelle. I love the open mic forums when we're talking about faith. I just think that's awesome. So I wanted to respond to Anna in Pennsylvania about, you know, feeling like where was God when this was happening. And I actually, in my healing journey, got on the ground. I was pounding the carpet going, God, where the heck were you when I was going through this? And I heard a voice behind me say, I was there with you crying. And I just had this overwhelming peace. And I realized that God gave us free will. And just because someone chose to do something horrific doesn't mean he wasn't there experiencing it with us. And that was life-changing for me. I never looked at God the same because I had blamed him for a long time. And then I realized, he was part of my healing journey, and he had never left. And so that was a real neat thing for me. And so I just wanted to share that with you. But I love the open mic, and I love talking about faith. So thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, it's very good.
I'd like to add something if I could. Is that okay if I add something?
Sure.
To Anna, I don't know that I ever blamed God, and I may have. But I know I always wondered where he was. And it really, I didn't get the answers at the time that I was wondering why all that was happening to me. But I did receive my answers later in life. And the answers that I got was, if you hadn't been through this, this, and this, you wouldn't be doing this, this, and this today. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I wouldn't be the person I am. I wouldn't be the advocate I am. I wouldn't probably even have the stronger faith than ever that I have now if I hadn't been through those things. It was like the answers came later. It was like, yes, he was there with me. He didn't cause these things to happen, but right. He turned them into blessings. He ended up turning every single trial, every single bad thing that happened to me when I was a child and even older, even with my own bad decisions and stuff and getting into domestic violence situations and stuff on top of, because that's what you kind of a sequence that can happen when you've been abused as a child. He turned them into blessings that I am so blessed with today in order to have the experiences to help others now who are going through now what I had gone through then. So you may not get the answer right then and there. I just want to let you know, you may not get it right then and there, but you may get the answer later. So just be patient because there is an answer for that question, I believe. At least there was for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I believe that too. I mean, for me, again, even though I didn't get a direct answer, I knew that he was there. It was like he let me know that I wasn't alone going through all that. He was there. And it was like he showed me love as an adult and let me know I was not alone. I just didn't understand that. But I can tell you now that God has used me to help others. There are so many people that believe that they are alone, that they have endured sexual child abuse by themselves, that they have endured domestic violence by themselves, that they have endured such different traumas in their lives, but you're not alone. When I went through my sexual child abuse, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only kid that went through that. Mm-hmm. So to find this group, and I found this group in 2012, it was overwhelming. When I first met Bill, I sat on the phone and cried with him. And he stood silent for a couple of seconds on the phone. I cried because I kept saying, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one that went through this. And it was like once I got involved with this group, and then God was just using me in ministry. I mean, I was always doing ministry, but I'm talking about I ended up meeting more people that was sexually abused as kids too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just women in domestic violence. It wasn't just homeless people or me going to feed the homeless or visiting people in jail. I ended up meeting other people, other women and men who were sexually abused as kids. And I was able to say to them, you're not alone. So when the Lord let me know, I healed you so you could be an example to let people know that they don't have to hold on to that hurt and pain anymore by themselves, to allow me to heal them as I healed you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my testimony to others when I go forth. I can hold them and say, you're not alone. I understand. I get more people that hold on to my arm or my neck or my shoulder because they look at me and say, oh, my God, you know what I feel. You know what it feels like. Because I had one person say, get over it. I had one woman say to me, get over it. And I said to her, okay, get over it. So let me tell you this. When you were 6 years old, have you ever experienced a man putting his thing in you at six? Ripping you apart. Have you ever experienced such pain? She just stood there quietly. And I told her, no, you can't even imagine that. You can't even imagine that excruciating pain. So don't tell me to get over it. Because you can never get, and I'll tell anybody, you'll never get over that. But you'll be able to live with it better than what you were doing alone and by yourself. And having it as a burden. Because our perpetrators back then, at least for me, I was told that it was my fault. And on top of that, I was told, ain't nobody going to believe you. And then on top of that, if you tell, I'm going to do it to your sister. So can you imagine as a little kid having all those responsibilities if you tell?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Yeah.
Well, you see, we all, darn it, I think I'm allergic to grass, but anyway, look where I live now, oh my God. But anyway, I think that all of us who have been through, you know, like terrible, terrible pasts, which we all have been,
yeah.
Most of us on this panel, yeah, we have been.
And I want to say real quick, Linda, I want to say hi to Linda because she did recognize me earlier and I didn't say anything back. So hello to you back, Linda.
Okay. Well, I'll go back to Linda in just a second then. But she might have a question or something. I think that we who have, you know, gone through all of these things in our lives, of course, when we're alone, we wonder, geez, why is it me? You know, why did this happen? Why did it happen?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. And all the things that you were saying, of course, I was 6 years old, and I was so triggered. I thought I couldn't be triggered anymore, okay?
Yeah.
And I was standing talking to a lady in the store, and she had this little girl, and I said, oh, she's a cute little girl. How old is she? She said, oh, she's six. And it was like a bolt of lightning or something went through me, and it wasn't a good feeling. It was a trigger feeling. And I thought, my God, she's so little. And this is how we were when we were 6 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I froze. You see, I have a way of freezing with certain things. You know, you have the fight and the flight and the freeze and all that. But with this trigger, I froze. And only momentarily, but I froze. I felt that horrible feeling go through me because I looked at this little girl, and I thought to myself, my God, this is how I was, and she's so little. And the world is so evil. You know, how can you do that to such how can you do it to anyone? But how can you do it to such a little kid, you know? And then,
and Carol, let me tell you what that lady, when she said that to me, the memory that came back was when I was 12, when my uncle was raping me, and he knew that my grandfather took me at 6. When he was doing it to me, he would make me say, tell me you like what your grandfather did to you. Tell me you like that dick. Did you hear what I said? And it hurted me with my grandfather, and it hurted me with my uncle. That's sick.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing changed. That was sick.
Very sick. And I was always told that if I tell, I will get killed. And that guy did kill my aunt's bird. He was a pedophile, and he killed her bird. And he did chase me down with his vehicle because I did tell. Now, let's get back to Linda because I don't want her to feel left out here. She may have a question or something or a comment that she wants to make. Go ahead, Linda. Mm-hmm. You're on.
Linda,
you there? Hello, Linda. Maybe she's singing a song. Are you there?
I'm sorry. I was just listening. I was in the other room, so I'm going to just bow out and I'll come in the next round, okay?
Okay,
well, I want
no
to say hi to you, Linda, back. Oh, she's okay.
I don't think she heard you. I heard a noise. Okay. Are you there or not?
I didn't hear what Michelle said.
I just wanted to say hi back to you, my sister. Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Now we got that straightened out. I'll come back to you in a little while then, okay?
Thanks,
okay. Cal. Okay, honey. She's probably watching the news like I do when I'm home. I can't pull myself away from it. I don't know. So, Bill, how do you feel? I'm going to ask him something here. How do you feel when you look back at your past? Okay. What kind of feelings go through you? Do you still feel feelings of rage or sadness or question? How do you feel about things as you look back?
That's a good question.
Oh, I haven't felt rage in a long time, but I did when I was new. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I had been abused in a religious setting, the Catholic Church, by a number of priests and brothers. And you know, when I came to recovery, I was shaking my fist at God. I hated, how could you possibly have done this to a person like me? And just like all of you are sharing, I felt I was the only one. I didn't know there were other victims. I had no idea. And, you know, my recovery began to make sense to me when I realized I was one of maybe 25 to 30% of the population. You know, it's a big number, a lot of people. And I started to ask just exactly why, you know, Michelle said, because that sense of, I know that we feel alone and we shouldn't feel alone. We should have we call it a family, a community of some sort. And it ended up being called a family of fellow survivors where almost instantly we recognize that we're not alone and we're never going to be again. I mean, that's what a gift that is. And that's the basic thing for why we're doing this, why I started it at all. But yeah, I was enraged at first. Today, I recognize that my path that was God-given, and it was meant for me, even though I couldn't understand it at the time, so that I could be effective, you know, with others. Because my job here, I think, is to seek and do God's will. And it's obviously God's will that I was a child abuse survivor and an alcoholic and a drug addict. It wasn't my choice. So, you know, I believe in God, a higher power that is in charge. And he obviously gave me those experiences, the sexual assault and the alcoholism and the drug abuse, all of it, and many other things. So, but the reason I have them is because that's the gift that I have to offer others, 25 or 30% of us, something like that. It's a huge, huge number, and it makes me and all of us extremely effective that we have our story and are in recovery. Not that we forget what happened to us, but, you know, it doesn't affect us the way it used to anymore. We have lots of tools and lots of programs and lots of people to turn to. So that's what I would say about that, Carol.
Yeah.
Can I please say something?
Sure.
First of all, I got so much love for Brother Bill. Brother Bill, if for anyone who's listening and on the internet and in the chat room, has such a powerful testimony because he is a man that was raped, viciously sold, and used by people in the church. He should have been an example to hate God in the church. Yet God has used this man in a mighty way to form this form today. Oh, my God. I mean, I was just sitting up here just teary-eyed when you were just sharing. I'm just so grateful, just so grateful that God has used you, so grateful that you are here. I just love you so much, Brother Bill. I just love
you. I love you too, Michelle.
I love you. Oh, my God.
I know.
You have a powerful testimony.
Early in recovery, as I said, I was very pissed off at God and the church.
Yes.
I started to see that part of my problem was my conception of what God was, so I gave that up. I created a new kind of concept for what God is. I didn't give up God, but I gave up the structure of God, the religious part of God. And I also forgave the church. Because not all of the church was evil. I found out, in other words, that I was angry not at the entire church, but at the pedophile priests that I ran into, which were numerous. I mean, it's a big difference. So I can go to Catholic services. I don't all the time, but I've been to many. I'm completely comfortable in them, and it's an experience that I am extremely familiar with. I mean, one thing I wanted to be was a priest at one point. I mean, that's what I was thinking of doing anyway. I ended up having this ministry instead of that one, and it's fine. You know, there's a lot of work to do here. I see my job, as I say, to seek and do God's will, and I think God's will is for me to serve, be of love and service, to serve others. So that's what I do. And you know what? It's almost effortless. Almost effortless.
That's true.
I do a lot of work. It's tiring, but it's almost effortless. It doesn't even cause me a lot of emotional stuff, which I was trying to refer to today in the workshop meeting, the recovery group, part of the measure of whether I'm doing it right or not is how much emotional energy it's taking. And and really, if it's causing me a lot of emotional energy, there's something I'm doing wrong is what I've learned. It's almost effortless. Tiring, yes, because it's a lot of hours. But it's my pleasure, really, to be of love and service, and I think it's where I was supposed to be. So that's enough for me.
I have to agree. I think that's one thing that a lot of us have in common. Michelle and I both go out and feed the homeless. I'm going to go back to the city soon. I've already been called a couple times, but I'm on shutdown too, a lockdown. And New Jersey is a small state, but it has too many people in it. And this is the thing, and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, Michelle. And, you know, there's just so many people that now in my area, I'm west and up high, west in Warren County. And now people are, you know, getting very, very sick. And it's a lot of them, they didn't listen. They didn't put the masks on. They didn't, And the kids wouldn't listen. The teenagers, I try to warn them. And I saw one girl actually pointing at people as they were going by and laughing at them because they had masks on. Where are her parents? You know, I'm thinking to myself, this kid, wait, she's going to get, you watch, because it's just, she's not doing anything. I'm sure she's not washing her hands either, all right? So, I mean, we have to do what we're told to do. We don't know the purpose of all of this. We don't know exactly. I know there's a lot of political aspects of it, too. I saw the YouTube today. Bailey actually had sent it to me. There's a lot of things that are going on all at the same time. And my son, he made up a song not too long ago when he was recovering himself because he had gotten so sick with the intestinal part of it. There's all different strains now of COVID, you know, 19. There's different strains, and he had the same strain as the congressman down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He and David had exactly the same thing. So, all right. So, like he said, what am I to believe? That was one thing he was singing on his guitar. What am I to believe? What are any of us to believe? Where is this coming from? And you know, all these questions that people have. Because that's the truth. You know, we all have our questions. But,
I have a question for Brother Bill. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead. That's all right. Go ahead. It just dawned on me.
Brother Bill, when they had, because you down in Florida, and they had that thing about when they reopened the, I'm changing the subject. I'm sorry, but I'm just curious. When they opened the beaches, you know, because they said the people wanted to go, you know, to the beach, and then they said over 200 people died, and they called the beaches back. Is that because now you're down there? Is there any proof to that, or what is your?
Well, that all happened in northern Florida, and I'm of course in southeast Florida. The last three counties in Florida, south and east, which are Palm Beach, Broward, where I am, and then Miami, and that's the order they appear in. Miami-Dade, they did not open their beaches. We stayed restricted. And so, you know, you were allowed to go to the beach and walk on the boardwalk, but not that on the beach, and you couldn't congregate, and you couldn't go swimming. They were pretty aggressive about it because Christina, my wife, and I went down there, and we were told the police are out there, you know, arresting people, you know. So, obviously, our breaches were restricted. But in northern Florida, and this is true in a lot of places, they're opening, you know, I feel, and this is my personal opinion, it's too early to know enough. Yeah, that's my feeling. So, you know, I'm glad we did not open up. We still have restricted stores and all that. And I don't know what it's going to take, but I don't think we are ready.
No, my gosh.
People are getting sick. I mean, come on.
Every day. Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Some places, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Carol.
That's all right. You're the one that's supposed to be speaking the most tonight anyway. But we all have big mouths and we like to talk, which makes this show lively. But anyway, over in the Andover, okay, you've probably heard of this, Bill. They had a nursing home over there. My God, they weren't reporting.
I did.
You know, as people were dying. Yeah, that's gross. Well, there were so many people that were dying from the virus, and they were stacking their bodies. And a couple of some of them were staff members.
They weren't reporting.
And they weren't reporting.
Oh my God, you
know
about that?
Yeah.
In a nursing home.
Well, believe me, in a nursing home, and they're finding out
quite
now.
Yeah, there's
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that a lot of the nursing homes, yes, okay, there are more people. Of course, their immune systems are way down low. They're older, elderly, they have pre-existing, you know, conditions. So if they're going to be around this, they're going to probably be the first to fall. And but it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that the rest of us can't be vigilant. You know, we have to be careful and to keep ourselves safe, you know. So New Jersey, like I said, is a small state, but we're a mess. We're worse than Pennsylvania. Over in Easton, they have less and so forth. I was on the CDC.gov. You can do that, and you'll see the whole country, and it shows you all the areas that are bad and also shows you areas that are opening up. Okay?
Well, that's
so that'll – yeah. But that's something to keep in mind, people out there. CDC.gov, if you put that in your browser, you can leave for yourself. You see for yourself, you know, what's going on. Yeah. Let me go down to Anna here and see if she has another question that she'd like to ask or a comment. Anna from Pennsylvania is talking about UPA. Do you have any questions or anything you want to add or whatever?
No, I'm just enjoying what everybody's saying tonight. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's good. Okay, no problem. Okay, Bobby, we're going to give you a try here. Do you have something you'd like to ask?
Same here.
Michelle Bless,
same here.
Yes?
Same here. Questions to Michelle.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You want to ask me? You want to ask her something?
What was the question?
You didn't ask one yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said same question.
I don't know. I'm going to put him on hold for a second. Sometimes he, I don't know what happens. But anyway, okay, let me get down to Kathy here and see if she has a remark or something. Kathy, are you there? Kathy? Hmm? Oh, wait a minute. I got her on mute. Don't bell. That's me.
There you go. I heard muted, and then now I'm unmuted.
Yeah, I guess. I do that at times. All right, that's all right. I'm allowed. I'm allowed.
No,
Go ahead.
I wanted to just, I guess, agree with Bill, you know, that what a gift this group is, what a gift his ministry is, what a gift he has been in my life and to so many others. And
yes,
that we, you know, I knew I wasn't alone because I knew my father was also abusing my brother. But as a family unit, I kind of thought, you know, we were alone, you know, because he was abusing my mother and all that. So so funny and ironic funny how so many of our stories are so similar, which is why a group like this is so important, because you really do feel that family connection. Because, you know, my family was abused by my father, and this is a family of abuse survivors. And I just want to say how grateful be part of it and how grateful I am that it exists and how grateful I am that Bill came to the realization and didn't become a priest and did this as his ministry instead. And Michelle, that you are doing the ministry that you are doing because you are letting people know that they are not alone. And it's so important for those who are going through this to know that they're not alone and to hold them and to just let them know. And it makes me think about, I had a friend whose husband died, and actually it wasn't of the COVID, but they listed him as COVID, but he was having heart problems and he was in New York City, and he just passed away recently, and his family could not be with him. And so for you to hold us, Bill and Michelle and all the other family members of NASCA, you hold us together. You are family, and it's like we get those hugs, we get those holds, we get that affirmation that we're a family, that we're not alone, that we're together in this. And so
Amen.
To have that feeling, to have that knowledge is very important. So, again, I just wanted to add my two cents and say thank you for all that you're doing. And I am so grateful to be just a small, tiny part of this. So thank you for allowing me to be.
I love you, dude.
It's a privilege.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. No, I'm always happy when you come on. I tell you that. And this is the perfect time for you to come on, you know. And, you know, you can come on any show. You know that, Kathy. And,
right.
Thank
I
you
wish
for
I had
all the things
time
that you do.
Come on all the shows. I wish I had the time.
Well, I know that you're very busy, too. Okay, I'm going to go to Darlene in a second. Darlene, I know that you're there. I want to finish up with Kathy here. Kathy does all different kinds of work also, okay? Maybe you'll mention a little something about what you do.
Oh, well, I actually, I work four advocacies. One
mm-hmm.
is foster care. I'm a former foster myself. One
mm-hmm.
is abuse. WNASCA is one of my advocacies, which I'm so privileged to feel a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly what I do for Bill is find guests for the shows, you know, that, you know, like there people will pop up all the time. Bill, I have a new one for you. I don't know if you saw my message, but I have a new guest for you too. Then I also work with animals because animals were my solace. You know, I couldn't really trust adults in my childhood. So animals were my solace and got me through an awful lot of difficult times. And I also work people of faith. I post prayer requests up on my wall. People know to come to me. Michelle, you might be interested in this because people know if they need prayer, they just come to me. And I get private messages from people all the time saying,
yes.
Can you please post a prayer either anonymously or if they want to give me the name or whatever. And I will post up a prayer, and I have a whole list of prayer warriors that come on and say that they're praying. And I go in and I thank each and every one of them. Doesn't matter how many there are. I want them to know that I see that they're praying and that I thank them so much for praying for the person that requested the prayer. So that then I just help with resources, and it's a tough, tough, tough time. I also am a crisis counselor with Crisis Text Line. So
mm-hmm.
if anybody is in crisis, and boy, they're getting a lot of calls, let me tell you right now, but text 741-741 anywhere in the United States 24/7, and a counselor will text you back. And we're getting a lot of calls, even from kids. Right
that's
now,
cool.
who are being abused or isolated with their abusers, or healthcare workers going through anxiety attacks and stuff. So, you know, if
mm-hmm.
anybody needs help, just know that they can do that. So, I'm just really, it's crazy that something like this has made me busier. Where so many other people, okay, they're working from home, they're not as busy as they used to be or whatever. I am much
mm-hmm.
busier. So, like I say, I wish I could come on every one of these calls. I would love to participate in all of them, but I get so busy all the time. And plus, I'm trying to find help for homeless foster youth. A lot of them have been displaced from their dorms because, especially in New York, where they're turning some of those dorms into hospitals. And so those college students become homeless now. They don't have family. A lot of these college youth don't have families or any kind of support. So, you know, I just try to find resources for all of those. So it's busy time for me. But
I had a
few minutes. My husband was in working, and I said, I'm going to come on this call because I have a little bit of free time right now.
Well, I wanted you to share that, and I'm glad you gave us that number, okay? That's good to know, because I get calls all during the night, too, and we all do, many of us do, and that's when people are the most vulnerable. It seems like they can't sleep, they're upset, their mind is racing, all these things. They're filled with fear, they're filled with anxiety, they're filled with panic, all these things that they go
right.
through.
and they need someone to talk to. So this is why NASC is available. Now you've just given us, you know, a number. You said 741. My cat is yelling at me. Did you say 741?
Yeah, it's a text. It's a text number. You text 741-741.
Okay. Okay, so now we have that out there.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Michelle, we have two people here. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Kathy.
As long as you give me time to do a scripture.
I just want to mention, hold on a second, Michelle. We have two more people that have joined us, so go ahead. Big panel tonight. Go ahead.
Okay, I just laid on my spirit by the Lord to read a scripture, which is Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. That's Jeremiah 29, for anyone who want to write it down, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Basically, he's saying if you just call on him or you just take a quiet moment, which you at home, just call his name, he will come to you. He will speak to you in that quiet place, and just know that you are not alone. And also write down Psalms 91, and that's what I want to say. And one more thing, because I might not get back to me. Just know that on our website, all of our names, we have emails, we have phone numbers, and my name is Minister Michelle Bless. My emails are there, my phone number is there, and during this time, and it doesn't matter any time, feel free to call me. If I don't answer, please leave a name and number, or you can text. I will get back with you, and we can talk. If you need someone to talk to or if you need a listening ear, I am here. That's what I'm here for. And God bless you, and know that I love you and God loves you.
Okay. Thank you for that, Michelle. All the telephone numbers, you know, that people are, you know, giving out, and also the Bible passages that they can look up for themselves, Jeremiah and Psalm number 91. Those are all helpful and comforting a lot of times to a lot of different people. So that's a good thing. So I appreciate that. Let me bring on Darlene, and then we also have Anna Marie from Canada. So we have a nice panel here tonight. Okay, oops, come on, I see a circle. There we
Hello.
Go. Darlene, how you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you so much.
That's
I was
good.
Wondering about being seen or not for a while. You know? Well, Michelle, you were talking about how they tell you just get over it.
Yeah.
I was just told that 2 days ago by a friend, and we were watching this YouTube thing where the lady that was on War Room, she's got a talk show, you know, Chat with Priscilla, and things we wish that we women wish our men knew, you know, and there was a talk and everything, and it was like, I'm doing all that, I don't know why I didn't work with my first wife or my second wife, I'm doing all that, and I just bit my tongue, you know, because all we are is just friends anyway, you know, we just, nothing but friendship, but anyway, I said, but yours, whenever he did say something, I said, finally I said, no, you're mean to me. He said, what am I mean to you? I said, you put me down all the time. You know, he used to say, I have fits when I go around happily singing or humming. Or you say, you know, you know better than even thinking, you know. All that kind of stuff is like a smack in my face, you know. I said, when you hurt me, when you do that kind of thing, he said, just get over it. And then I said, well, I ain't going to just get over it. And I said, I put up with just getting over it all my dang life, and now I'm an adult, and I'm not going to put up with somebody just continue doing that. So I came right out and said that.
Good for you. Good for you.
So, you know, I know what you mean. I could just get over it. That really burns me up, too. You know, you just
mm-hmm.
can't get over it. It's like when I was talking with a friend when I found out about a little girl that she had been murdered, right? And some of my friends were telling me, just get over it. You know, I said, yeah, she might be with God like you're saying, but we're not just to get over it. We're to quit shutting our eyes. We're to open our eyes and help when we can. Maybe we save a life or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me say something to that, Michelle, because I have to go down to Anna Marie from Canada. I just got noticed
ahead,
that yeah, she's in the daytime thing. And I, you know.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just say something. You know, people tell us many times to, why don't you just get over it? I've heard that 100 times, I think. And it just infuriates me because, you see, they haven't been through it, Darlene, you know. And but we know because we've been there. We know what it's like. And as long as we keep our faith together, you know, you just turn your head. You know, it says in the Bible, if you're at someone's door and they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Christ, and they're not Christ-like, you stamp your feet and you walk away. And that's what we have to do, because there's a lot of people out there that just simply don't believe, and they will try to bring us down. So don't worry about what people say. Worry more about what you do, okay? Let me get down to Anna Marie here. And hold on a second. Here we go. Anna Marie from Canada. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. I'm just joining you guys, just listening in to what Michelle was saying. Yeah, I was just really resonating with it, except for the only thing that I have to say is I don't trust God or Jesus yet, but
mm-hmm.
I do trust the Creator, and with that
mm-hmm.
knowledge and that feeling, it makes me feel a little closer to something, and so I can really
mm-hmm.
understand where everybody's coming from when it really empowers them when they find something that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that, as well as I resonate with everything that you were saying, Michelle, about your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing. And it's the same thing. I mean, you call him the Creator, and that's fine. There's no and I just heard him say that he loves you.
Thank
you. He told
you.
Me to tell you that. I just heard
thank
him say
you.
That. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He just told me to tell you that.
Amen.
And I love you
thank
too.
Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what we
too.
Call God. You know,
that's
as bad as I don't understand him. You know,
yeah.
I'm not supposed to understand God. Jeez. We got another caller very last minute here, Carol. I'm sorry to say, but at least they're here.
Yeah.
And don't know who it is.
Yeah. Another one. Oh, my goodness. Yes, there
is. There's somebody. Bring
them
in.
Yeah, I'm bringing them in.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. Hi, this is Carol Levine from the Stuff Child Abuse Now show. Who am I speaking to? 616 area code. You just want to listen? That's okay. Okay. I'm going to put on hold, okay? And I don't know. We don't have much time left. But I hope that you're getting something from the show. We're speaking about the spirit. Yeah, we do love you, whoever you are, 616. And we're here for you, all right? We're here for you. Well, I just want you to know that. And if any time you want to speak, you know, we'll let you come back on, okay? Okay.
And let me announce my phone number online. I want to announce my phone number online if anybody chooses to write it down.
Yeah, do that, Michelle.
My phone number is area code 513-212-5429. It's area code 513-212-5429. You can call or you can text. I can speak or I can be a listening ear. Just to let you know, and just know that you are loved, not just by me, but by everybody on this panel. We all are a family, and we all love each other, and we love you.
That's right. And I want to add something to that, too. You know, a lot of times people are afraid to speak on the radio, but it's like, you know, it's like speaking to friends. You know, we're all sitting, like, around a big table here, and we're speaking to each other. And it's really quite easy to do. And then there's a lot of times people don't know how to begin to share. They feel very ashamed, or they feel awkward, or they feel this, they feel that. We've been there. We understand that. I just want you to know that. So you're not alone. I just want you to know that you're never alone. And we do have the contact page, and Michelle's number is there, which she just gave out. My number is there. I'm Carol Levine. Just look for it. You'll see it. There's a whole bunch of numbers there. And you feel free to call, because those of us that are on the contact list, that's what we want you to do, okay? And we're expecting those calls. And I'm the night owl. Michelle is the night owl also. And, you know, we get calls 2, 3, 4. I was on the phone until 6 o'clock
in
the morning the other day. Yep. And you were
yes,
4
ma'am.
O'clock in the morning. Yep. And we expect that, though. We're just used to
yeah.
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if any time you need help or you're feeling like you're in distress of any kind, you can't say anything that's going to shock us. We've been through it all, and we're still standing. Okay? Remember that. We're still standing. We're survivors, and so are you. Okay. We only have about 3 minutes left, a little over 3 minutes left. Michelle, I'm going to give the floor to you because this is actually basically your show. You're the co-host tonight. I'm the hosting it, yes, but this is your show. And I want to give you time to speak to the people, to you know, give them hope, and also to help them along the way and of things that have been spoken about on the show tonight. Go ahead.
Just to go back on that, Jeremiah 29, you know, when God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," said the Lord, "thoughts of peace
yes.
and not of mm-hmm. evil." This is a trying time, and I know for survivors or even some victims that
mm-hmm.
it can be a lonely time for people who don't have family, who's alone at home, you know. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And you don't have to feel alone. And if you're listening, please go on the website and get those phone numbers and get those emails. And I hope you took down my number. You know, we are here. We are here to, we can be a listening ear for you. And also know that God is there for you. And even if you don't believe in him, it's okay. Because you know what? He believes in you. And it don't even matter if you don't believe in him. He is there if you want to talk. He is there. And this is a great time to do it because we are in the house. We got this thing going on outside. We can't do anything. Just give him a chance. Give him the opportunity to talk to him. He is there to listen. We are here to listen. But you are not alone. I know how it feels to be lonely. We all on this panel had experienced that. But let me, I can just share about me. I know what it feels like to be lonely. I know what it feels like to be alone. I had lived that for so long, for so many years of my life. I know what it feels like to be unloved because I ain't never had nobody to love me. I have been beaten, I have been battered, I have been abused, I have been talked about, I have been laughed at, I have been spit on, I have been kicked, I have been stomped.
Mm-hmm.
But God took this broken vessel and he made me a new person. He put me in the furnace and he renewed me, he restored me, he refined me, and I learned to love me. See, it's one thing I found out. How can you give love to somebody if you don't love yourself?
That's right.
So
that's right.
I love me. And
Michelle,
I know. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're
it's 9:29. Let's end this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's end this. Just know I love you guys and my number. I'm here. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I've got this thing in my ear.
Go ahead.
The show is over now, and I just want to thank all the people that were on the panel. You all ask good questions, and you're all here. We're all, you know, in this together, like they say, and that is the truth. You're never alone. You have NASCA. You have people to call, and all I can say is say, you know, stay close together, love each other. And if you think something's going on down the street, for God's sake, make a phone call, okay? Make a phone call, because kids are very high at risk right now, okay? It's not just the elderly in nursing homes. It's kids who are stuck inside with their abusers. Remember that. Don't forget that. They need a hero, so be the kid's hero. Okay, thank you so much for being here, and good night. God bless, and let's hope that next month when Michelle comes on, things will be different. Okay, good night now. Bill, can you play the song, please?
Oh, sure. Hold one second here.
Yeah,
God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse.
Amen.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.